when Paula texted me and asked me if I would do this, and it was, you know, I said, well, okay. And then I started thinking of what to talk about, and then I prayed, and I had something happen to me, and the phrase kept sticking in my head. So when I started praying and reading and looking, and, you know, sometimes I'll be reading, I know y'all do too, and you come across something in the Bible, a verse or a sentence, and it's like, wow, that would be really good to talk about. You know, that I want to share that with somebody. That would be really good. And so I have a bunch of those. I have a little notebook, and I keep them all wrote down. And I went over every one of them that I wrote down in the past, and none of them just chucked. But this just kept coming up. And so I will start with a story. I don't know if y'all know, but I deal with the public a lot in work. And so I have the opportunity to meet a lot of different people from different walks and different circumstances, different lives. And I recently, I guess it's been about 4 months now, met a little lady. She was 91 years old. Tiny like Miss Mary, a little bit taller, just as tiny as she could be. Her little hands were just all bent up with rheumatoid arthritis, big knots, and just, you know, I would say deformed, but just crippled, okay? And she walked with a walker, and we were talking, and she's 91, very lucid, and for some reason, I don't know what we were talking about, but it got on the subject, and she was talking about being so old. And I told her, I said, well, you know, I've been thinking along these lines. As we grow older, God prepares us to go home. You know, when you're younger, God, not now. I want to get to high school, or I want to have my first date. I want to get married. I want to have my babies, you know. But then as you grow older, it's like, it doesn't bother you anymore. It's like he prepares our hearts to yearn to be with him. Not that we're going to go out and do anything. He just prepares us. So I was talking to her, and I told her, I said, you know, I said, I think, she said something about being tired. And I said, I think God prepares us as we age to yearn to go home to be with him. And she said, I don't know. And I said, you don't know what? I said, he prepares us to go to heaven. And she said, I don't know. And I said, well, what do you mean you don't know? And she said, is there a heaven? And I said, God's in his word says there is, and he promises to prepare a place for us. And she's like, but is God real? And I said, kind of like didn't know what to say there for a minute. So, and her daughter was in the room with her. And I said, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know, have you asked him to come into your life and live inside of you? And she said, oh, yeah. But she didn't know if he was real. You know, so that kind of like blew me away. And how many Christians are out there and they not really sure that God is real? So this is the title of what I'm talking about, is God real? So first off, I want to give you some background information, okay? The word Bible says that God is the word. So the word is God. And so the Bible is 2,000 to 3,500 years old, okay, documented. It's the best-selling book of all time, over 5 billion copies, has an annual sales of 100 million copies. The Gutenberg was the first Bible that was mass. It was the first mass printing ever done of any book that was mass printed, okay, when they invented the printing press. The oldest copy of the complete early Bible currently it's preserved in the Vatican, okay, and it is known as the Codex Vaticanus. It's in the Vatican Library. So, and that is the oldest complete copy of the Bible anywhere. Complete Bible, Old and New Testament. Okay? Now, there are things. I did a lot of Googling and researching and stuff like that. There are things, absolute facts. The Bible is been tested. It's documented. It's an ancient book. Okay, nobody doubts that, as they've used a lot of methods to verify that all throughout the world, different countries, different scientists to verify that it's at least 2,000 years old or older. Okay, Job 38:24, and these are just a few things. This is God talking. If you ever get a chance to read the last two or three books of Job, that's all God talking. Okay, it's amazing what he says. But he says, by what way is the light distributed or the east wind spread over the earth? Okay, when that was wrote, nobody knew but God. Okay, scientifically, it's kind of like this. The light causes the east wind to blow because the dawn heats up the air that's been cooled by the night. All right? And we didn't discover this. No one knew that back then. God knew it. Now, even if man wrote the Bible, is that the commonest thing? That's the most common thing I get. The Bible is the Word of God. But men wrote the Bible. That's what they tell me. Even if men wrote the Bible, they didn't know this back then. Okay? Only God was in a position to know what made the east wind blow. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Yeah, I'm getting there. That's Isaiah 40. Yeah. That's getting Isaiah 40:22. It said, it is God who sits above the circle of the earth. We, back then, men thought the world was flat. So God knew when this was wrote over 2,000 years ago, the earth was round. Okay? The next thing is Job 38:16. It says, have you explored the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in the recesses or the abyss of the deep? Okay, this is God talking. He's asking Job, have you done this? Okay. Ancient people thought that the sea was an abyss, which is a Greek word which literally means bottomless. Okay, that there was no bottom to the sea. Only God could have known that it had a bottom. Okay, because he's asking him, have you walked in the recesses of the deep? All right. Same verse, springs of the sea. Mankind did not know or discover underwater springs until like 1949. All right. It wasn't confirmed until 1960. It wasn't seen until 1979, almost four millennium after Job was written. Only God could have known this. Okay. And the last thing is, Job 26:7 says, it is he who spreads out the northern skies over emptiness and hangs the earth upon or over nothing. Okay? God knew that the earth was hanging in space over nothing. Okay? Only God. Gravity was discovered by Newton, was the first clue. We all know about the apple falling from the tree and Isaac Newton. Uh, That was Job 26:7. He hangs the earth upon or over nothing. Okay. Yeah. He says, yeah, only God could have known that it was hanging on nothing in space. And Albert Newton's was in 1687. Okay. 80. After the death of Christ. When he discovered this. Albert Einstein in 1915 fleshed it out with a theory of gravitational theory or whatever, because there was between 1687 and 1915 they discovered that there was a little bit of a, with some of the planets when they started being discovered, there was a little bit of different mathematical equations that made it off. So Albert Einstein come along and smoothed it out and got it right. Now, then there were events. A worldwide flood. Genesis 7:19-22. It says, and the waters prevailed exceedingly and were so mighty upon the earth that all the high hills under the whole sky were covered. All right. Every culture on earth, every culture has a legend or a myth about a great flood. Okay. They have different names, colored by local gods or myths. Some details are left out, some details are added. But the basis, that great flood, is always in every culture. In Babylonian, there was the epic of, if you want this afterwards, I can tell you, Gilgamesh was a Babylonian epic flood. Sumerian god Enki had an epic flood. And this is all about the same time in history. Ancient totems of Mexico. In the Greek, Zeus. It was a myth that he got mad and destroyed all the inhabitants on the earth. But Prometheus warned, I can't say the name, Deucalia or whatever, otherwise known as Noah to us, to build a large wooden chest. A large wooden chest is what it said. Okay. And then the third thing, knowledge. If technology, if the Bible is to be believed, man has been on the earth for 6,000 years. We have a reliable history for 4,000 years. In all of that time, man learned how to... can't read my own writing. Learned how to hammer. How to use a hammer, axes, spears, and the wheel. Okay, that's it. We didn't have electricity. We didn't have no internal combustion engine. We didn't have no printing presses. And then 500 years ago, roughly, knowledge exploded, and we are where we are today. Just in the last 20 years, how far has knowledge come? From computers the size of this room to little bitty tiny one. You know? Okay. Daniel 12:4. This is the reference that in my research it gave. When Daniel was prophesying, or Daniel was having a vision, and God was talking to him and telling him about things to come. It says in 12:4, it says, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the end. Now that's a whole nother sermon, okay? And then finally, there is Matthew 24:22, and says, and if the days had not been shortened, no human being would endure or survive. But for the sake of the elect, the days will be shortened. We are now at a point where we are capable of total world destruction. It is possible to destroy all flesh upon the earth in one day. You know, that's totally possible. Now we have nuclear weapons. Okay, now I said all that so you'll know the Bible is verified. Okay? And since the Bible is God, is the Word of God. Now, then some people say, did Jesus exist? Well, because we're who we are, God and Jesus to us are the same. God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, the Trinity. So if one exists and the other does. There's ancient non-Christian writers, antagonistic Josephus. He was a soldier who lived about 37 A.D. to about 100 A.D. Principal writings was about the history of Jesus. And he made mention a lot of James, brother of Jesus, the so-called Christ. When you were in ancient Jewish, when you were called by, you would be your family. Like I would be Nancy, sister of Linda, or someone, especially if someone was famous in your family, you know? So they would call your name and then relate you to whoever the famous one was, okay? Like if you were in a small town, which the world was a lot smaller then, and there was a prominent religious leader, then you would be Caleb would be Caleb, son of Rick. That's how they would relate it, okay? And so he made a lot of mention about James being the brother of Jesus. There was a Roman historian, Tacitus. He spoke of Jesus. Nero falsely charged the Christians with the burning of Rome. He blamed them because of their so-called Christ, who was crucified or condemned to death by Pilate, made mention of it in all the histories. So Jesus is not, he was verified in history, all right? Got just a little bit more to add on that, but then we go to personal reasons. To say all of that, you know, the Bible says you have to believe by faith. Without faith, you got nothing. Okay, all of you at one time or another have had something happen in your life that's unexplainable. I have several times. The most recent one was when Kaylee had Geneva a couple of weeks ago. And I was, you know, I don't know. I know you have, Wanda has, Jamie hasn't. You had that pleasure yet, but to your daughter... that are your son, but you know, I have four daughters, and this was my 10th grandchild, and every time one had one, I tried my best to keep the fear out of my heart, because I was terrified. I was terrified for the baby, but I was terrified for my baby until it was all over. And so with Kaylee, I've been praying, and we had a spot of trouble the week before, and I actually did something I had never been brave enough to do before. I mean, my children know how I feel, and they know that I love God, and I raised them in church, but I actually, in the doctor's office, put my hands on her stomach and prayed. And I've never been brave. That's how anxious, I guess you could say, I was. And I just told her, I said, Katie, I'm sorry, but I got to do this. And I put my hands on her stomach and prayed. And so I kept praying. And then whenever she got to the hospital, the baby was a large baby at 9'5". And she wasn't doing nothing, and it was overdue. So they were going to induce labor and to give her epidural. And I didn't feel good about that for some reason, and we talked about it, and she has back problems, and then the anesthesiologist came in, and he recommended just putting her under for the C-section, and I started to go, oh God, she'd never been put under, never, you know, she never had an IV that she remembers, she was like a baby, and then I said, and I just felt God's peace come flooding in. I said, okay, that's good. So again, I prayed with her and Daniel before they took her to do the C-section. And I told her, I said, Kaylee, I said, don't stress. I said, God knows what he's doing. If it's a C-section, if it's putting you under, then that's okay. That's what God wants. He knows what he's doing. Well, as it turned out, the cord was wrapped good and tight around Geneva's neck. So we know that God knew what he was doing. So, and she's just here, and she's just such a blessing. Yeah. And there's been other things that have happened to me. Driving down the freeway in a rental truck, of all things, because I had wrecked my truck like 2 days before. And so I'm just tooling along, and I left work, and I was going to go get gas because I had maybe a quarter tank, eighth of a tank left. And I thought, no, I'll wait till I get to Viner. So I'm tooling along down the freeway, and I felt them. I went, I didn't see nothing in the road. And then I heard something hitting the pavement. I'm like, okay. So I kind of pulled over, and I kind of looked out the side window, and I could see sparks in the road. I thought, oh, Lord, I picked up something. I don't know what it was, but I could hear it hitting the pavement. And so, no, it wasn't the person. No, it was clanging, and if they had some metal boots on, if it was a person. But, and so I pulled over. I was like almost to the downtown curve to go downtown. So I pulled over, and then I went around the curve, and then I smelled gas. And I went, oh, let me pull this baby over. So I pulled it over, and I could look out. I could smell, roll my window, I could smell gas real strong. And I could see this pipe about this big around sticking out from underneath the truck. So I called 911 and told them where I was and that I could smell gas and that the tank, thank God, was not full. Okay? But when they got there, the cop, and then I got out of the truck and I went across the street. Yeah. I went across the street. And the cop, when he got there, he said, ma'am, he said, you are lucky. And I went, why? He went, I had a pipe this big around, punctured within the gas tank.
Oh my goodness.
Sparking with gas. Yeah, I guess my tire caught the pipe and it punctured my gas tank. And I was standing there and he said, girl, he comes stood beside me. He says, you're lucky. I went, and he told me why. And I says, yeah. I said, oh, I'm blessed. Okay. And he said, you want us to call a wrecker? I said, actually, you might want to call Enterprise. It's a rental. And he went, a rental? I went, yeah. I said, I wrecked my truck last week. He stepped over. But you know, I know from experience what happens when, you know, it's just a miracle that the whole truck didn't explode. You know, not if not on impact, whenever those sparks. Because I drove as far as from here, probably to the red light, with sparks. It was God working. If I had to fill the tank up instead of not, I don't know, but it was that same week, I don't know if y'all remember, about 4 or 5 days later, there was a lady killed coming around that curve going to Vider from off of there, which a piece of pipe that was in the road flew up and went to her windshield. And it was that same week. But there is, you know, I know there is unknown times when God has directed me to go this way or not go or slow down. And believe me, when he tells me to slow down, I slow down. Okay? When he tells me to pull over, I pull over. Because we know as Christians that the devil, I mean, he's out there and he is looking for any excuse that he can find to steal, kill, and destroy. And sometimes God is working all the time on our behalf. He is working behind the scenes to circumvent him, to do away with whatever he's meant cause for our harm, okay? So we rest assured in that. And then there comes a time when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you have a feeling inside of you that you know, that you know, that you know. And somebody's asking me, why do you believe? Because I know that I know that I know. You know? Now, the last thing I wanted to talk about was evolution. Okay? The theory of evolution is just that. It's a theory. Okay? A theory is something that's not been proven, but everybody takes it for granted. Okay? The theory of evolution allows man to disobey God, which is what they want to do anyway. Okay? We are born sinful. Our flesh is weak. All right? The theory of evolution gives a plausible explanation to the origins of life. Ignore evidence, rejecting scientific evidence, even if it has holes in the theory. Man continues to believe it because they like it. Okay? After all the scientific proof, if you still believe that God does not exist, the Bible has a word for you, okay? And it's found in Psalms 14:1. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. All right? Yeah, and let me tell you something else. I saw this twice now in the last week on the back of a truck or somewhere. I don't know. It says, stop, drop, and roll does not work in hell. Stop, drop, and roll does not work in hell. It doesn't work in hell. It doesn't work in hell. So that's my spiel for tonight. I hope I've helped convince you. Now, you know, God being real, he has to be real to you personally. But it has to be a personal revelation to you. I mean, I can stand up here and tell you. And I just, my heart hurts for people that think he's real. Maybe. Might be. You know? But like that little 91-year-old lady. She does it. Is heaven real? Is God real? And I did my best that day to convince her that it was, but because you know, at 91, you're pretty close to meeting him up front and personal, you know. So I think in her heart she did. I think because she's just weary. But as we talk, so I hope I was helping to clarify it for her that day. But I see Christians and young ones that are going about the motions. And they go to church. They give, they do this ministry, and they do that ministry, but they don't believe. They don't have heart knowledge. They're hoping, but, you know, and once you get that belief that nobody can shake you, oh, what a ride. What a ride. Yeah. We are supernatural. Okay. We are naturally supernatural. All right. Thank you all for listening to me.